Amen. If you'll take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 16. For those of you who are at the camp meeting a couple weeks ago, this might sound familiar, some of the message, but he stole it from me, okay? Because I was already ready. I've been ready for about a month. I knew what God wanted me to preach. So he stole it from me. All right? Luke chapter 16. We're going to talk about today things we will do for eternity. Things we will do for eternity. Luke chapter 16, verse number 19, the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him into my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said to them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have today. Father, open your word, and Father, Lord, to glean truth from it. Father, I pray that you'd be with me today. I thank you for the opportunity you've given me, Lord, Father, to preach this morning. I thank you for those who have come. I pray that you help us all, Lord, to be attentive to your word today, Father. Help our ears to be open. Help us to be concentrated on you today, Father, Lord. Lord, we love you, Father. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do for us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Things we will do for eternity. There are certain things that everyone will do for all eternity. First, we'll talk about what is eternity. What does eternity mean? Eternity means a place that has no end, existing outside of time. On earth, we are bound by time. We're bound by deadlines. We have to go by the clock. Y'all are going to want me to be done by 11:30. That's what time I need to be done. Otherwise, y'all are going to stop listening and start getting upset. We're bound by time. We exist in time. But when we die, our souls leave our bodies, and we immediately go into a place where there is no time. It's never ending. Eternity, when I say eternity today, I'm talking about something that never ends. It will never end. It lasts forever. We can't comprehend that in our mind, but if you'll think about it with me this morning, we're going to last forever. We're going to last forever. Who will live for forever? Who will live for eternity? The answer to that question is everyone. Turn to Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. We're going to have to turn some this morning, so y'all have your fingers ready. Matthew 25, verse 46. Who will live for eternity? The Bible says, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Everyone will live for eternity. Everyone is going to live forever after we die. Our souls will go on into eternity, into existing without time or forever, and it will never end. Amen. Heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? Where will we be for eternity? In heaven or hell? It says right there, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. What is that? That's hell. There are people that will die and go to hell, and they will be there forever, for eternity. It will never, 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 never end. And there are people that are dying in Christ. When he saved them, when they die, they're going to go to heaven. The Bible says, but the righteous into life eternal. Life eternal. We'll be in heaven with Christ forever. It will never, ever, ever, ever end. Heaven or hell, that's it. There is no other place. There is no purgatory. There is no holdover. There is no jail cell. Once we die, our fates are sealed forever. Right. And it will never end. So we're going to talk about today things that everyone, regardless of where we are, everyone will do for eternity. Everyone. Heaven or hell, we all will do the things we're going to talk about this morning. First, I want you to see, go back to Luke chapter 16, verse 23. Number one, I want you to see we're all going to be able to see for eternity. We're all going to be able to see forever. Look at chapter 16, verse number 23. And in hell, the rich man went to hell. And he's still there today because, like I told you, we live forever. So the rich man's in hell, and the Bible says, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. The rich man in hell could see. The rich man in hell could see. Even today, he is still able to see in hell. He's able to see forever. What did he see? What did he see? When he died and his soul went to hell, what did he see? He saw torment. He saw desperation. And he saw fire. And he saw all these things. And he saw where he was going to be at. And he realized what he had done. He saw all the desperation of anybody else that was there. And he saw the torment. He saw the fire. He saw all those things. And what did he do? He looked up. He didn't want to look out. He looked up. He didn't want to see all those things that he was seeing. He didn't want to see the fire. He didn't want to see all the other souls that existed in hell. He didn't want to see those things. He looked up. I don't want to see these things. I don't want to be here. I don't want to see these things. But he's still there today. He's still able to see those things. Nothing's changed for him. He's still able to see. A lost soul will see his surroundings in hell. A lost soul will also see and notice who is not there with him in hell. The Bible says, he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. There are many souls today in hell that when they got there, they realized, man, that stuff mom and dad were telling me, that stuff was true. That stuff they always talked about, that Bible, that Jesus stuff, stuff that I didn't care about, man, that stuff was real. Because they looked out, and they didn't see their mom, and they didn't see their dad, because their mom and dad went to heaven, and they went to hell because they didn't believe what their mom and dad had told them about Jesus Christ. And they're still seeing it today. They're still able to see today. And they have to look out, and they don't want to look out because of what they see, so they want to look up because they can't see that mom and dad anymore because they're not there. They're not able to see them because they're not there. They didn't believe. And so they went to hell. The rich man didn't believe. And he went to hell. He didn't want to look out. He wanted to look up. He didn't want to see what he saw. He didn't want to see who wasn't there. So the saved soul, we saw that the lost soul will see forever. The saved soul will also see forever. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, I told you we're going to talk about things that everyone will do for eternity. So the lost man will see forever. The lost soul will see forever. The saved soul will also see forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. What are we going to see? I say we because I'm going to heaven, in case y'all didn't know. I'm going to heaven. God saved my soul, and that's where I'm going. I'm going to be there forever with him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What are we going to see? We're going to see the one that we've talked about, that we've preached about, that we've read about, that we've heard about. We're going to get to see our Savior's face for the first time. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. What a day that will be when we get to see our Savior. Man, that's going to be a good day. We get to see our Savior's face. Do you know, we're not just going to get to see our Savior's face. What a day that will be when we get to see His face. We're going to get to look at Him, the one who died on the cross for our sins. Man, that's going to be a good day. But He's not the only one we're going to get to see. I remember, I guess it's now been over 2 years ago, I got a call sometime between 5 and 6 that morning. And I looked, I saw his mom, I said, I knew something was wrong, because she knows not to call me between 5 and 6 in the morning. Something's wrong. Because if something would have been wrong, I'd have been upset. And she called me and she said, said, Stephen, Uncle Phil's died. And I love my uncle. He probably don't even know, or he didn't know. He knows now. How important he was to me. And that was the first time in my life that I had lost someone. 26 years isn't that bad to not have lost someone for 26 years. And that shook me up. And I remember just sitting in the bed and crying, because we didn't expect that. I certainly didn't. And I remembered all the times I got to see him. And me and him were a lot alike. Our mannerisms were the same. Our sense of humor were the same. He's sarcastic like me. And so we just had a good time. Whenever we were together, we'd play golf together, we'd have a great time. And I miss my uncle. But because of Jesus Christ, one day, I'm going to get to see him again. Amen. What a day that will be. We're going to get to see forever. We get to see our Savior. And we get to see those lost loved ones who've gone on before us. Those saints who held true to the faith of Jesus Christ amidst persecution. And amidst suffering and amidst shame, they didn't care if you mocked them. They didn't care if you made fun of them. They were going to live for Christ. And they're in heaven now. And thank God, one day we're going to get to see them. Amen. We're also going to get to see something else. I need to get off that anyway. We're going to see something else. We read about heaven. We read about, we're going to get to see streets of gold. Y'all believe that? Yes. Y'all believe that? Yes. We're going to get to see streets of gold. Walls of jasper. And the Bible said, Jesus is preparing a mansion for us today. What a day that would be. All these things, all these good things that we have, and we did nothing to deserve it. But God's going to give them to us if we accept Him our Savior. And we're going to be able to see all those things. And we're going to get to see them forever. We're going to get to see them for eternity. It will never end. What a day that will be. All right. We're going to see for eternity. Number two, we're going to be able to speak for eternity. That's for you ladies. We're going to be able to speak for eternity. Y'all will get to talk for forever. If it was up to me, we wouldn't have to talk a whole lot. But y'all are going to get to talk for forever. Amen? Look, if you will, in chapter 16, Luke chapter 16, verse number 24. Everyone will talk forever. Everyone will see forever. Everyone will talk forever. Everyone will be able to speak forever. I'm giving you evidence of that. And we've already read it. The Bible says he cried, talking about the rich man in hell. He cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus, that he may dip his tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." The rich man could talk in hell. What did the rich man say? The rich man cried out for mercy. The rich man looked up in hell. He said, "Have mercy on me." But it was too late. When it's hell, it's too late. When your soul is gone, it's too late. When your soul has departed your body, it's too late. It was too late for that man to have mercy. We have the opportunity today to have mercy from God and accept him as our Savior and go to heaven. But if we wait till after we die, it's too late. And that man is still crying out today for mercy, but he can't have any because he waited too long. It's too late. He was crying out for mercy. It's too late. And I also see that he could, that in eternity, in hell, we'll be able to talk. Look in Matthew chapter 13 and give you one more example. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 50. What if we could talk? What are we going to say? The lost soul in hell is going to be crying out, asking for mercy in his torment, in his torture. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse number 50. What else will he say? The Bible says, "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire." Who? Those that are lost. They'll be cast into the furnace of fire. "There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." My friend, if you went down to hell today, you know what you'd hear? Screaming, crying, yelling, because they're in torture. They can't get out of it. It's never going to end. There's nothing but depression and frustration and torment and torture, and they're screaming. They're wailing. The Bible says they're gnashing their teeth. When do you gnash your teeth? When you're in pain. Something hurts. The Bible says they're doing that, and it will never, 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 never end. It never ends. They're screaming. They're yelling out. And there's nothing anyone can do because they're in hell. And it will last forever. They'll speak forever. The saved soul will also speak forever. Turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 19. The saved soul is also going to speak forever. What are we going to say? Again, I'm saying we because I'm going. If you're not, you can take care of that today. Amen? Amen. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 1. What are we going to say? The Bible says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice and much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." Look at verse 5 and 6. "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty, thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." What are we going to say in heaven? What are we going to say for eternity? We're going to be saying, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise the God Almighty who saved us from our sins." We're going to praise God forever. Amen. We're going to be able to praise God in the midst of our Savior and praise him forever. We're going to be saying that forever. We're not just going to be shouting praises. We're also going to be singing praises. Turn to chapter 14 of Revelation. We're going to be shouting praises. We're also going to be singing them. Revelation 14, 2, and they're singing in heaven, amen. Revelation 14, verse 2, "And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of the great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung it as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. No man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." There's going to be singing in heaven. We're going to get to sing praises to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to get to shout praises and we're going to get to sing praises. What a day that will be. What a time they're having in heaven right now. Singing and shouting praises to our Savior. You say, "That sounds boring. That sounds like church. Sounds like church. Sounds like church. You got to go to church every day in heaven. That don't sound like fun." Can I be honest with you? There's a time in my life, probably 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, that sounded boring to me too. Even up to maybe I was 24 and 25, I said, God, I didn't really want Jesus to come back. Because it sounds boring to me too. We're just going to be up there. We're going to be having church every day. We're going to be shouting praises to God. We're going to be singing. And then what are we going to do? We're going to do that some more. And we get done with that. Well, we're going to do that some more. It sounds boring to our flesh. But can I tell you something this morning? This morning? It's not nighttime. The more I have to live on this earth, and the more I have to deal with these people in this world who hate God and hate me and hate the things of God and hate this Bible and don't care anything about it and don't care anything about me, and the more I got to worry about people coming to my house, breaking into my house, taking my children, kidnapping them, and me having to kill them because they came to my house, the more I have to worry about all the things of this world, the more I have to worry about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, the more I have to worry about it. Hey, church every day is starting to sound pretty good. I'm sick of this world. I'm ready to go. But while we're still here, we're going to keep working, every man. So we will see for eternity and we will speak for eternity. Number three, we will remember for eternity. Turn back to Luke 16. Luke 16, verse number 25. What did the lost man remember? Abraham said, son, he said, remember thou that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus his bad things. The lost man remembers his life. The lost man in hell, that rich man in hell today, still remembers the way he lived his life and what he thought was important. What was important to that rich man? What was important to that rich man? His belongings, his material, what made his flesh feel good, him feeling good, his pleasure, his power. That was what was important. And Abraham said, you remember what was important in your life. And he said, now, you don't have any way to change it because you made that decision while you were alive. So he's going to remember for eternity his life and the things he did. A lost soul will also remember his friends and family. Look at verse number 27. This is the rich man talking. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that they may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. That rich man remembered his life, and he also remembered his family. And he knew the way he lived his life, he left no testimony for the cause of Christ. So he knew that the chances of his brothers not going to hell were slim to none. And he said, God, can you please send Lazarus? He said, send Lazarus to go tell him that not to come here. I don't want my brothers to come here. Let me tell you something. If you got a mama, or if you got a daddy, or if you got a brother or sister or a friend or uncle, whoever, and they're in hell, they do not want you to go to hell. They're not having a party down there. It's not a good time. There is no fun. There is no pleasure. It's just torment that never ends, and they do not want you to come there to be with them. They want you to go to heaven. That rich man said, I don't want my brothers to come here. I don't want them to be here, even though I'm here. I want them to be in heaven. And God said, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, it don't matter who tells them. Jesus Christ himself was there on the earth. Most people didn't listen. He said, if they're not going to believe the Bible, it doesn't matter. Friend, can I tell you that we must believe the Bible in order to be saved? I can't save you. No one in here can save you. I can't do anything to save you. All I can do is tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says you must be born again. The Bible says the wages of the sin is death. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. All I can do is tell you what the Bible says, and the Bible says you must be born again to be saved. I can't save you. No one can save those five brothers, not even Lazarus if he had come back. And the Bible says that he told them basically, they're not going to believe no matter what you do. They made a decision in their heart just like you did. So, we will remember for eternity. The rich man remembered his life, his friends, his family. What is the saved soul going to remember? Saved soul will also remember his life. Saved soul is going to remember what God did for us. You wonder why we're shouting praises and singing to God all the time in heaven? Hey, it's because we remember what God did for us. The things God did for us on this earth. The way he blessed our lives. The way he took care of us. The way he sent his son to die for us so we didn't have to go to hell. That's what we're going to remember forever. That's why we're singing to him. That's why we're shouting praise to him, because we remember and we know what we deserve. We remember what he did in our lives. Turn if you will to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. We're going to remember our lives. We're going to remember our redemption story, how Jesus Christ died for us. And that's the reason we praise him. That's the reason we worship him. Before time in heaven, we're going to remember all the lost souls that we could have influenced for the cause of Christ. All the lost souls we could influence for the cause of Christ. Revelation 21, verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This is talking about people in heaven. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We say, or I've heard before, there's no crying in heaven. Well, that's not true. The Bible just said right there, he had to wipe the tears away. Why were they crying? This is right after the great white throne judgment in the Bible. So I believe, you can believe what you want to, because I don't really have no way to prove this. I believe they're crying because they stood there at a great white throne judgment and they had to watch their brother go in front of them. And God said, your name's not in this book. And they watched him cast to the lake of fire. They had to watch their son go in front of them. And God said, your name's not in this book. And he cast him into the lake of fire. They had to watch their daughter go in front of them and said, your name's not in this book. And he cast the lake of fire. There's tears. Because they're remembering the way they lived their life and they didn't do enough to influence the others around them, the ones they love. Let me tell you something, granddad, grandma, mom and dad. When you're in heaven and you don't know if your son or daughter's coming, you're not going to care about how good a baseball player they were. You're not going to care about how good a softball player they were. You're not going to care about whether or not they had a great job, how much money they made, whether or not they were the president of the United States. You won't care about any of that if they're not coming to heaven. That's the only thing you will care about in heaven in regards to your family and your loved ones, is if they're going to be there with you. That's it. You won't care about any of that. You're not going to be up in heaven bragging about your son being in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I guarantee you won't be, because it doesn't matter. I hate to burst your bubble. Burst mine some too. I mean, I want my son to play in the NFL just like y'all did. But more importantly, I want my son to be saved. Amen. When I pray for my kids, sometimes I pray, hey, God, I want them to live a long life. Sometimes I pray specifically that for at least one of them that they'll end up being smart. Y'all don't need to know which one. But almost every time I pray for my kids, I pray, God, please save my kids' souls. You can't know what the love of a parent is unless you're a parent. And I love my kids too much to put the things in the world in front of them and act like that's what's important, because it's not. They can have fun, have a good time, but I'm going to make sure they know that the most important thing is whether or not they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they'll have to make their own decision. But I'm going to pray to God that he will please save their souls. Friend, granddad, grandma, mom, dad, if you're here today, this is your only chance to affect the lives of your sons and granddaughters and grandchildren is right now. Amen. You will not be able to do anything when you've passed on and gone into eternity. Your time will be over. That's it. The only chance you have is right now. Could only be today. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I don't want you to get up there and feel regret because you remember that you didn't take every opportunity to witness to them and to make sure they knew the most important thing was that they were saved. There's tears in heaven because we remember. But we also see that he wipes the tears away. I don't believe, reading these verses, hold on, let's read verse 4 and 5. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he sat upon the throne and said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. I don't believe Christians, saved souls, will remember the bad things forever. I don't think it's possible. If God says he's going to make everything new, God says he's going to wipe away our tears and we're not going to cry anymore, Brother Cliff. The only way I'm going to stop crying about my son or daughter not being in heaven is if he takes that memory away. That's the only way. So I don't believe we're going to remember the bad things forever, but I believe we're going to remember the good things, amen? I believe we're going to remember still how Jesus Christ died for our sins, and I believe we're going to remember that forever. We're never going to forget what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. So we'll see for eternity. We'll speak for eternity. We will remember for eternity. Number four, we will feel for eternity. We will feel for eternity. Turn back to Luke 16. This is the last one. Y'all don't fall apart on me. I'm almost done. We will feel for eternity. Luke 16. We're going to look at verse number 24. Verse number 24. Feel for eternity. The Bible says he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Tormented in this flame. Do y'all take that literally?
Yeah.
I take it literally. What does that mean to me? That means that man is burning. He's burning. But he's not burning up. You light something on fire today, what's it going to do, Larry? It's going to burn up. Eventually, it's going to go away. Down there in hell, they're burning, but they're not burning up. He's feeling something physically. He feels a pain. We think about our souls going to heaven or hell. He's able to feel. This is not just a spirit thing. He's able to feel physically, and it hurts. And it never, 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 never ends. He feels it. He feels the pain. And he screams, have mercy on me. He says, send Lazarus. Dip his finger in some water and just put a little drip of water on my tongue that it'll cool me off just a little bit. He's feeling it physically. Not only is he feeling it physically, he feels it emotionally. He feels it emotionally. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Not only is he going to feel that pain physically forever, but every soul that's in that hell has to deal emotionally with the fact that they're never getting out. There's no hope in hell. There's no one passing on any good news. I've got good news for you today. You can get saved today, and you can avoid that place I'm talking about. But when you're in there, there's no good news. There's no hope. It will last forever. And emotionally, you're going to have to deal with that. Being there forever. Never ending. The torment. Let me give you the definition of torment. That's the word the Bible used, right? Let me give you the old Webster definition of the word torment. Extreme pain, anguish, the utmost degree of misery, either body or mind. And in hell, it's both. Body and mind. The utmost degree of misery, the utmost degree of pain, it will never end in hell. He will feel it forever. What's the saved soul feel forever? I'm glad you asked me. Turn to Revelation 21. Verse number 4, where we were before. Revelation 21, verse 4. What's the saved soul feel forever? God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. The saved soul will feel at rest and at comfort forever. Satisfaction forever. Contentment forever. Peace in the presence of our Savior forever. It will never end. My friend, if you're here today and you listen to everything up here that I said, and I'm not the best at it, but if you listen to everything I said and you can honestly tell yourself, I don't believe what he's saying, I can't do nothing to help you. It's up to you individually to believe what the Bible has to say about heaven and hell. It's real. It's real. The saved soul will feel satisfied, at rest, forever. The saved soul will feel emotionally overjoyed. Physically, we will feel no pain in heaven. Nothing can hurt us. Nothing can hurt us. No one, nobody. The animals are going to want to play with us. They ain't going to want to hurt us no more. The people are going to want to play with us. They're not going to want to hurt us no more. Everyone in heaven will be getting along with everybody, and we will not feel any pain anymore physically. We won't feel any more pain emotionally. He wipes away those tears. He said, the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. No more emotional pain. No more pain. No more emotional pain. What a day that will be when we don't have to worry anymore. When we don't have to worry about the things of this world anymore and the problems. We're just going to be up there with God having a good time forever. What a day that will be. So, I'm done. Conclusion. What will you see for eternity? What will you see for eternity? I had an illustration. I'm not going to do it. What will you see for eternity? I want you all to look at your soul today. Think, do I know where I would go for eternity? Do I know what I'm going to see? Am I going to see torment, fire, devastation, destruction, damnation forever? Or am I going to see the things of God? Am I going to see my Savior? Am I going to see loved ones that have gone before me? What am I going to see for forever? What are you going to say forever? What are you going to speak for forever? Are you going to be crying out in torment and screaming and yelling because of the pain you're enduring forever? Or are you going to be shouting and singing praise to God and singing to Him and glorifying you because of what He did for you to save you from going to hell? What are you going to remember forever? Are you going to remember all the good things God did for you? You're going to remember this day. You will remember this day. You'll remember sitting in this pew today and you deciding whatever that man's saying is not real. And I refuse to believe it, if you do. You will remember this day. Or you can remember today and say, that's the day I got saved. Amen. That crazy man was up there talking, and he said that stuff, and I believed him, and Jesus Christ saved my soul. What are you going to remember forever? What are you going to feel for forever? Are you going to feel torment, pain, anguish to the utmost degree forever? Or are you going to be overcome with joy and peace and comfort and contentment and no pain and no sorrow? Are you going to experience that forever? What are you going to do forever? I know what I'm doing for forever. If you don't know, you can know. If you don't know, you can know. The Bible says, God commendeth His love to us. And that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. My friend, if you don't know, and you're not sure, or you know, I've never been saved, you can be today. And you can know that forever you'll spend eternity with Christ. And the Bible says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Confess your sins, ask Him to save you, believe Him with your heart, and that's it. You'll go to heaven and be with God forever. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. But you have to make the choice. You have to make the decision to do what God said do. Christian friend, if you're here today, and that grandson's not saved, that son's not saved, that daughter's not saved, that granddaughter, friend, it don't matter how good a job they've got. It don't matter how much money they make. Only thing that matters is they go to heaven when they die. That's the only thing. Christian friend, if I were you and you're in that case, I'd be on this altar begging God to save my son. I'm begging God to save my daughter or my grandson or my granddaughter, whoever it is. You know someone is not saved today and you love them. That's all that matters, is that they get saved. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed.